Hey everybody, welcome back to Check the Gate and AFI Deep Dive. I'm Bert, and before I introduce my cohorts, I'm gonna need y'all to hit this shit real quick. Just so I know you're cool.
Don't do it.
Come on, Brandon. Come on, I ain't got all day.
You're gonna be in for a long day.
Michael, your turn. Hit it up.
Pass. Pass.
Smart. You'd be dead on the street already.
I've seen what happens. No thanks.
And today we are doing a Brandon pick. We're doing the 2001 film Training Day, or as I like to call it, Peer Pressure the Movie. It's about a rookie cop who spends his first day as an L.A. narcotics officer with a rogue detective who isn't what he appears to be.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Brandon, why this movie?
This movie is some grade A acting. Denzel Washington kills it. Ethan Hawke kills it. There's a great supporting cast. Everybody goes hard in this movie. Oh. And I love it.
I think this is, when you say Denzel Washington, I think the image of him in this movie is the image I see, the black weather jacket,
I cannot ever, you know, separate Denzel and any other character. Like, to me, this is who he is in real life too. Like,
he's Alonzo Harris.
Yeah, totally.
Just rolling around in that caddy or whatever it is. Just
like Monte Carlo, baby.
Sorry.
Just like, yeah, you never know what his intentions are. And what game he's playing.
Just a little volatile, yeah. All the time.
Yeah.
No. And now, I remember when you chose this movie, you know, a year and a half ago, everybody had seen it but Michael, and when he said he hadn't heard it, this was the one that was the audible.
Yeah. What?
And Michael experienced it a mere 12 hours ago. Mm, less than 12 hours ago.
I probably finished it about 8 hours ago. So. Yeah.
Nice.
Did you enjoy it? Did you like it?
We're fresh off it.
It was good. Very.
You still reeling from that PCP?
Yeah, dude. I don't know what planet I'm on right now. No, it was good. I liked it. Very action packed. Very lots of twists. Lots of little like I'm gonna shoot you. Just kidding. I'm gonna call my cousin. Oh, just kidding. You helped her. Just kidding. I'm not gonna blow your face off in the bathtub.
You want to go home or you want to go to jail?
Yeah.
You want to go home or you want to go to jail?
Yeah.
No, that's the big question of the movie, you know?
No. No.
True. And snitches get stitches, so.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess. Or just don't go killing Russian mafiosos in Vegas.
That, too. No. I guess there's a lot of messages in this movie.
I think I thought...
Quite a few.
For the longest time, it was until this rewatch that he owed them money and couldn't come up with it, but then watching it, this sounds like, oh, he actually killed somebody.
Yeah.
And we're dealing with this premise that's just kind of mentioned a couple times, that he killed somebody, and I guess the price on that person was worth $1 million that he had to get them, and that's what made him start planning this entire day. And I actually picked up on a few other things, like how... that we'll obviously get into more, that obviously he mentions that like he'd been planning this for a week of like blackmailing Ethan Hawke into smoking PCP, and then that's how
do you think it was necessarily Ethan Hawke, or was it whoever the rookie was going to be?
I think it was whoever the rookie was. I don't think it was necessarily like
targeted,
because I mean they even kind of allude that he doesn't really know much about him. Like, you know, when they're at Roger's house and he's talking about how he was a strong safety and,
yeah,
you know, for, and he's like, how?
Only follow the good ones.
How did you even know that? Like, I had no idea. Like, that. So I think it was just whoever they give me. I don't think it was person dependent.
Yeah.
They were just going to, I mean, the positive would be, I guess you take the money and all this stuff, but there's sprinklings of him maybe having him killed, whether he would have taken the money or not.
Right.
There's something I picked up this time. I don't know if you had already known or not, but we'll get into it when we get into it. But
yeah, I was kind of worried though that this movie wasn't going to hold up 20 years later.
Oh, really?
No.
I hadn't seen it in a long time. It's... When I first started dating Cassie, it was on the wheel. I brought up the wheel before the
yep.
complete, because the only thing I remembered was that obviously how it ends, all the stuff at the beginning, but I forgot about the intense middle. So I watched it with Cassie like 5-6 years ago, and like it gets to the point where he's playing poker and they're like, "You haven't got your shit pushed," and they like take him into the bathroom and she, like with the shotgun, she goes, "Do I need to look away?" And I'm like, "No, like no. I don't remember how this gets resolved, but I remember." But I know he's okay. So I forgot about a lot of the intense middle stuff that goes on. But
yeah,
fun one to watch with your wife.
Dang it.
Like I said, this is a 2001 film. The top three films of 2001, which I should mention we have done this year one other time. Number three, Monsters, Inc. Number two, the film we did on the AFI list, The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. And number one, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Wow.
I think it was a trip to realize that both those movies came out the same year. Two franchises got started the same year. A ticket cost in 2001, $5.66, which is equivalent to $10.01 our money. The budget for the film was $45 million, which is equivalent to $79.6 million. And the box office was $104.9 million, which is equivalent to $185.5 million. The film was nominated for 2 Academy Awards, and it won one. It lost Supporting Actor for Ethan Hawke, but it won Best Actor for Denzel Washington. Noted Ethan Hawke is in the supporting role, even though he's in more of the film. It's more centered around him, but it's one of those Godfather versus Al Pacino kind of things. But I thought that was, and like you said, this is like powerhouse acting from the two of them. I don't think I knew that Ethan Hawke was nominated, to be honest.
He lost to Benicio del Toro for Traffic.
Oh, for Traffic. Yeah.
Oh, I've seen that one. You know what's funny though? I always forget about Ethan Hawke, and then I watch movies with Ethan Hawke in, and I'm like, that was pretty good.
He's right. You know, he's in. I was thinking about this yesterday when I was watching it. He's in a lot of movies that I don't like, but he's never bad in them. Like, he's not the reason the movie's not good, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the Sinister movies, but...
His role in the movies are always pretty good.
Yeah. He always shows up to the party and knows what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just not in a great film, but... he had the research, him in Black Phone, that was great. That newest movie he had, like it was like a year or two ago, where he's like the serial killer guy.
The Black Phone?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, it's a good one. You should check it out. He's like perfectly creepy in it. Because he's got those...
Yeah, he can be creepy. I mean,
he's got those dead eyes, man.
Yeah, he's
got the slim face too. Like,
yeah.
The sullen.
So this is Training Day. So it stands to reason that this entire movie takes place within probably just shy of a 24-hour period. I guess the sun is coming up at the beginning, and it's starting to come up again when the credits roll. But we find out that Ethan Hawke is a just regular beat cop who's been transitioned into the narcotics division of L.A., obviously super nervous. He has one day to prove himself in this narcotics division. He wants to make detective. This is obviously his best position to work up the ranks in the LAPD to get to where he needs to go. Denzel Washington calls his house, tells him to meet him at a diner, abruptly hangs up while he's talking on the phone. We're getting a lot of Denzel big manning at the beginning. I'm just trying to read my paper. Like, he's I don't know if it's like a sizing up or it's just like he's...
No, I think it's totally sizing up and belittling him right off the start to establish the dominance. It's total psychological play on his part.
taking advantage of his greenhornness.
It's like he's like, yeah, doing the big man thing. Then he's like, oh yeah, we're buddies. Yeah, you know, like that kind of
shit. You know, like every time he wants Hawk to do something, he doesn't want to do it, but then he'll end up doing something different, and then but then he'll belittle him, but then he'll be like, you know what, actually that was good police work.
Yeah.
Like when he saves that girl, he was like, you're an idiot for doing that. But at the same time, you did the right thing. You're a good guy. So he's punching at him, you know, verbally, but then like bringing him in to coddle him. Hey, man, it's so cool. It's all good. Yeah. Hey,
break him down, build him back up.
I'm just a hard ass. It's all good. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
They patrol the streets in Denzel's sexy 1979 Monte Carlo. Beautiful car. He's got the hydraulics in it and everything. He's like going up. He tells him, you listen to me, you'll make detective in a year. I have 5 people that work with me. I don't hand hold. I'm a hard ass. You stick with me 1 year, you'll get to where you need to go. And that's when Ethan Hawke verbally says, I will do whatever you ask. To which Denzel pulls over to witness a drug transaction. He mentions that the 17-year-old drug dealer is one of his informants. He's a 17-year-old kid. I let him sell weed. He makes some money. He tells me where the big fish are. He keeps going back to this whole big fish thing. Stop worrying about these petty criminals. We're trying to work our way up to figure out where it's all headed from, kind of thing, which is something that Ethan Hawke has a hard time dealing with. Whether it's in the aspects of what we know about how the film ends or not, it's something that he just has a hard time dealing with in general. They pull up on these college kids who bought weed, blasting their Papa Roach.
Guns out. It's just a throwback, isn't it?
It's got Dr. Dre in it, baby. Some Snoop D-O-double-G, maybe. Great Cypress soundtrack. Hill. Yeah. they essentially jack their weed and their pipes, gunpoint. You know, you want to go home or you want to go to jail? You want to go home or you go, if I ever see you in this town again, you know, get out of here. Don't. They jack his weed, to which Denzel starts packing the bong while he's driving. And Ethan Hawke's like, you're not going to smoke that, are you? And he goes, nope, you are. A good narcotics officer knows what weed, you know, drugs smell like. They also have it in their blood. You know, he kind of like passes the pipe to him. Ethan Hawke hesitantly is just like, good one. I get you. No, seriously, you're gonna smoke it right now. He's like, I'm not doing that. And that's when he pulls over, pulls a gun out, and sticks it right to his head. He said, if we were on the streets right now, you'd be dead already. And they're in the middle of an intersection. People are honking. He pulls the gun out of the guy. He's honking. He's like, oh, shit. No, it's all good. Not a single person calls this in, by the way.
Nobody's like, hey, there's a sketchy narcotics officer pulling a gun on his fellow officer.
Unmarked car, pulling guns out.
Unmarked car in the middle of the street.
Trying to get him to smoke something. I don't know.
Finally, Ethan Hawke relents. Okay, fine. Smoke. He makes him smoke the entire thing. To which he drives off. And that's when we get like that trippy like 70s drug sequence. Where he was like, when's the last time you smoked weed? And he was like 12th grade. And he goes, man, but I didn't know that you like PCP. And he's like, what? And he's like,
what? Oh,
yeah. Yeah, you're on PCP, brother. You didn't know that? I never smoked it myself, but...
I do like that scene, though. Like, that the trippy lens, you know, the filter. I do like that scene, because you're just like, man, it's going to be a long day for this guy.
I read that a lot of people had issue with them saying that a good narcotics officer has to have it in their... Which is a weird thing to nitpick in this film. That David Ayer, the guy who wrote the film, Anton Fuqua directed, David Ayer wrote it. He went and pulled up LAPD, legal jargon that said narcotics officers are allowed to smoke, are allowed to do narcotics if it's for a specific reason, i.e. like undercover stuff like that.
Yeah.
So he added that into the script because it was technically accurate, but at the same time, they're not really undercover. They're just...
Just doing it recreationally, almost.
Yeah, creative licensing.
Right? Yeah, creative licensing, yes.
Obviously, Hawk is freaking out. I'm going to do a piss test. I'm going to get fired. To which Denzel lets him know, hey, don't worry, the lieutenant has this division's back. And it's not like I put a gun to your head. You did it on your own free will. You know, like, haha, cheeky thing. And he's, they pull up to this, like, house. And he's like, hey, we're going to go meet my boy Roger. He's going to size you up. Get your shit together. Like, they roll in. We meet Roger, who is a retired cop who's now a, who's turned drug dealer. And you kind of get, like, the... I didn't know if maybe I was just picking up on it, if it was more of a... Like, this was Denzel's mentor, because he was a cop at one time. They definitely have that... They do mention later that he was just kind of watching him, you know, watching him do all this terrible stuff, and they finally pinched him in the end. But I, they do kind of have that, you know, mentor-mentee.
Yeah.
You know, because he even says, he's just like you when you started. You know,
right.
You were a, you know, you want to do good, too. And then he also mentions he heard he had Alonzo, Denzel's character, had a quite the time in Vegas. He beat a Russian to death, and now the Russians are after him. But don't worry, I got it all figured out. Don't worry about it. Not a huge deal. Well, it might be a huge deal. Don't stress it. Don't stress it. Give me that $300 glass whiskey. They leave the house, and that's when they're driving by, and Ethan Hawke sees a young girl getting attacked by two crackheads, is what they refer to them as. He tells him to stop the car. He jumps out.
Runs across wailing. Traffic.
Gets them away for, and he's fighting them. They're fighting back. And then you see Denzel just kind of like standing in the alley, just kind of watching.
Lights up a smoke.
Get his ass kicked, yeah. He finally gets the guys in handcuffs. Denzel kind of shows up and assesses the situation and then looks for all the drugs on him, gets a few. Steals cash, which he does often in this film. Steals cash from drug dealers and whatnot. Pretty much is like, we're going to let you go home. You want to go home or you want to go to jail? Just give me all your money and your drugs and we'll be square. Obviously, Ethan Hawke doesn't like that, which is that's when he tells him, you know, this is big fish stuff. The garbage men, the regular beat cops, take care of the trash. We take care of the big fish. To protect the sheep, you got to be a wolf. You got to catch a wolf, and to be a wolf, you got to catch the wolf. As he's leaving, he, luckily, the most important part of the movie, he finds that girl's billfold. realizes she was only 14, puts it in his back pocket. I'm sure that'll never come up ever again. And that's when I was talking about how there's the moments of Denzel will call Ethan Hawke stupid for whatever he's doing, but then also just be like, you know what, that was actually good police work, you nailed it.
I like
how you put him in that chokehold. They didn't learn. They didn't teach you that in the academy. He's like, I was getting
my ass
kicked.
Didn't they ban that chokehold?
Yeah. He's like, I was getting my ass kicked, man. He's like, ah, man, it's all good. Hey, we good. Hey, you know what? I know you're still rolling, but let's go bust up Snoop Dogg in a wheelchair.
No, I
drink
love
this
it.
Drink this beer, too.
Yeah. Man, give me that beer. I am thirsty. I could get a beer. You want a beer? Let's get a beer. And they're just road sodas. They're not at the bar. They're just driving around drinking Heislers.
I loved that. Yeah, I was like, oh, look at that. A TV beer.
I like when they pull up to Snoop Dogg, who's in a wheelchair, who's clearly selling drugs. And then Snoop's like, what do you want? And Ethan Hawke's like, some crack? Snoop Dogg's like, smells like bacon in this motherfucker. And then he just wheels himself away.
He's just running.
they obviously, they chase him down. We see Snoop swallow some pills, to which they apprehend him. They find a gun on him. Denzel takes a pen, sticks it down his throat, and makes him puke up the pills. Finally gets him to tell them, you know, where are the drugs coming from? This is best Batman. He tells him he gets it from a guy named Sandman who's currently locked up. Cool. Let's go find the Sandman's house. We even got ourselves a fake warrant. To which Ethan Hawke feels obviously weird about. He's like, oh, we can't do that. And he goes, why can't we? What are they going to do? Call the cops? They bust into Sandman's house holding a fake piece of paper we find out is actually a menu.
Yeah.
And Macy Gray.
Macy Gray kills it.
Just smoking that... cigarette that tiny all the way down to the filter.
But you could just tell, like, her character and the way she played it, though. Like, she's like, I just do not trust you, man. Like, you are.
Give me that warrant. You're supposed to give me a copy. My partner's got the warrant. He's like, Ethan Hawke is, you know, he's got the gun on him. He's like, it's all cool. We all cool, big man.
Like, yeah, he's like, what's up?
No, that's all right. We're still cool.
Nah, it's cool. It's cool. Throws up the nux to him. And he's like,
but see, again, that's like Ethan Hawke, though. Like, being uncomfortable in the situation, you know, like trying to make, you know, friends in this very, very tense, awkward living room, you know, like it's just, he just does such a good job.
Trying to make the situation less severe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. While Denzel is like
rummaging through the bed,
pulling the cabinet drawers out.
We're coming up on it though, but like Ethan Hawke, and just the way he's like, with the kids that he meets, you know, it's very tender. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's got a kid at home too.
Mm-hmm.
Hawk sees that Denzel is found. He can kind of see in the mirror. At least we, as the audience, can kind of see in the mirror. It looks like a big old stash of cash. And he puts it down his trousers, comes out and says, "Oh, we were wrong. There's nothing here. Sorry, we're gonna take off." To which Macy Gray obviously goes in, finds out that her money's gone, and then yells at the neighborhood to shoot them up because they ain't cops. And then Denzel pulls out them double pistols, baby. Starts blasting up the neighborhood. The back of his windshield gets all busted out. And they screech off, and that's when...
the back windshield gets called back, too. Like, when they're at the valet, and he's like,
Monte Carlo
with the shot-out window.
With the back window blown out. Denzel takes us into the jungle, is what he refers to this neighborhood. Huge gang-affiliated neighborhood. And that's where he goes and meets his mistress, played by Eva Mendez. He tells Hawk, "Never come in this neighborhood without me. It's way too dangerous. They all love and respect me here." And we even see, like, when he walks past those gang members, they say, "I fucking hate that guy." Like, so we clearly see that the neighborhood does not like Denzel being there. And we got Mike Tyson up on the roof doing the pigeons.
Yeah. Releasing pigeons to let him know that he's here. Like,
yeah.
I don't think they like you, bro.
They go up to Eva Mendez's house. She makes Ethan Hawke a plate of food, and it's alluded to that she's and Denzel are going to go get some nookie while he hangs out with, like you were talking about, Eva Mendez's son. And obviously, it's clearly Denzel's kid. They get along just fine. I mean, we're assuming so. He's playing video games, he's watching TV, and then we both cut
to... take a nap.
It seems like hours later, you know, we kind of get the sun movement, the shadows on the trees moving. And we find Denzel's just standing in the living room with a gun pulled out while Ethan Hawke and the kid are sleeping on the couch. Taps him on the knee. "Hey, we gotta go. We got a meeting in 15 minutes. We gotta go meet the wise men." We pull up to this, you know, we get the valet. We get the nice, fancy restaurant where three older men smoking cigars are pretty much just being like, "Russians are coming to kill you. Why am I talking to you, a dead man?" kind of thing. "Hey, don't worry. It's all kosh. I'm going to get the money. I got to meet them at midnight. In fact, take this $40,000 that I just stole from Macy Gray and get me a warrant. And we're going to pinch one of our big guys. If you're cool with it, Alonzo, I'm cool with it, I guess. I guess I'll take your $40,000 and I'll sign my name on this arrest warrant." So it's a legal arrest warrant now. We head out, and that's when we meet the rest of Denzel's crew, including Dr. Dre and the guy from Con Air who won't put the bunny back in the box. And Zed from Pulp Fiction. A real cavalcade of mean-looking motherfuckers.
That's one sketchy crew.
Everyone is just like, "Who the fuck is this guy?" Referring to Ethan Hawke. He's like, "No, he's cool. He's with me. It's his training day." Looks right in the camera. "Training day. Just stay out of my way, greenhorn," that kind of thing. They go in there. They bust into the house. Freeze, they got shotguns, and we find out that it's Roger. Alonzo's not, he's gonna not gonna be okay with this when he finds out. Hey, Roger, it's me, Alonzo. I just got word from the three wise men that, we're gonna have to, you know, take a little off the top. You're not even gonna miss what we're gonna take. But bust out the chainsaw and drill up the floor and pull up this giant pirate chest full of cash. $4 million, which, by the way, is equivalent to $7 million, our money. You know, Denzel tells Ethan Hawke, man, you lucky. Your first day on the bust, your first day on the job, you got a $3 million bust. He's like, I thought you said it was four. And he goes, nah, taxation without representation, my brother. Obviously, Ethan Hawke is like, I don't want any of this, which makes everybody nervous. You know, I guess obviously, understandably, I'm not siding with the villains here. I'm just saying, like, obviously they're like, this guy's gonna narc on us. Denzel's like, it's all good. It's your first time. It's your first time. You don't feel comfortable? I'll hold on to it for you. How about you? You okay with it? You okay with it?
Oh, you feel okay comfortable? Feel comfortable.
I'm very comfortable. You know, to which they go in, they sit down with Roger, and that's when Denzel hands Ethan Hawke the shotgun and says, shoot this guy. And he's like, oh, good one. Yeah, shoot him. No, and then Roger's taunting him, yeah, man, shoot me, ha ha, you know, thinking it's all a huge joke. Ethan Hawke mimes like, oh, bam. Denzel takes the gun back. He's like, I guess if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. Turns around and just,
boom.
Perfect shotgun circle in straight Roger's chest. Breathe.
Yeah, breathe.
Come on, breathe. He's like looking right down the barrel of the camera.
Like that's going to fix it, you know?
Yeah.
But that's just Denzel being Denzel, man. Like,
that is true. He gave Will Smith advice after he slapped Chris Rock at the Oscars. He said, the devil's going to get you one day, and you got to learn to fight back. And I was like, well, he did just slap somebody for no reason, but oh, it's all good. Anyway, off topic.
Go on.
Now we have to set up a crime scene. All right, here's what happened. New guy kicked in the door. Jeff was the first one to enter. So, Jeff, you're going to have to take a bullet. Hey, man, I need time off, but I don't know. Like, all right, so they shoot him once in the chest. Woo, you know, like getting all pumped up. Like, it reminded me a lot of, like, Scream when they're, like, stabbing each other in the kitchen at the end. He's like, come on, baby. Come on, baby. Jeff, we're going to have to hit you again. Going to have to hit you again. Shoot him. This one goes through. So now he's, like, bleeding, like, freaking out. And then new guy came in. Pop Roger. Who shot Roger? I saw a new guy do it. Who did it? Hoyt. You know, that kind of thing. Like, he's like, hey, that's when we get this really, like, great tense scene. Where, one, we have a dead guy to our left. Two, we have a guy bleeding out to the right who wants them to call an ambulance, but they have to get their story straight. And Ethan Hawke isn't hip yet. You know, he takes the gun from Denzel, points at him, to which the other guys all pull their gun. They have their guns at the back of his head. And that's when Dale's like, think about what's happening right now. Five officers just watched you shoot a man. The first thing they're going to do is they're going to pull a pint of your blood, and they're going to, what are they going to find in your system? That's right, PCP.
I wonder.
That's when he's like, you've been planning this all day? He's like, motherfucker, I've been planning this all week.
You out here playing checkers while I'm playing chess.
Yeah. So, what do you want to do? You want to go home or you want to go to jail? Hits him again. Honestly, kind of surprised that there weren't any lines in the top 100 quotes.
I was just thinking that.
There's a ton.
There's two specifically at the very end.
King Kong?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can't forget that one.
Yeah. They say you want to go home or you want to go to jail so many times in this movie. I was like, I wonder, you know, I don't think it is, but let me go check. And then none of them were on
repetition.
There is something that has to do with the AFI about this film. We'll get to that at the very end. Yeah, okay, we'll say it now. He's the number 50 villain on the AFI list. Just made,
I know, because he's in my top villains list, so
yeah.
It was a good guess.
Once you saw him rub those two guns together.
No. Oh, well, the part click. Is like talking about the in the diner though, like when he tells him he's telling him his DUI story.
Oh, let me load my guns. Click click.
And yeah. He's like, "Let me load up my guns." Like, oh, I love that line. He's just so cocky in it.
I was talking about when he is like threatening that crackhead that that was trying to rape that gal that they stopped. And like he's like, You told me to suck my dick? And then like he pulls him up and like he takes the guns and he like clicks them together. Click, click, like gun to gun, and then he scrapes them.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Which was ad lib, by the way.
A lot of Denzel's was.
He looked like
improv.
He didn't know how to hold those guns at that scene too, because his elbows were up like this. But the King Kong thing was ad libbed.
Yeah. The diner scene was ad libbed too. Well, part of it was ad libbed.
No,
it wasn't in the original script.
Denzel again reiterates, "This is what's going to happen. So you can either go outside and catch your breath." Or, meanwhile, the guys behind him are like, "Roger's got two more bullets in this gun. Let's just pop him in the head and say he killed him when he walked in." And it's like, "No, nobody's dying today. Nobody's dying today." Ethan Hawke gives the gun back, pops Dr. Dre in the face real quick before he goes outside. Goes out to catch his breath. We get that really...
He got applauded from Alonzo too for getting the jump on his guys. That's a pretty big compliment. He's like,
again,
got
he's
the jump
like,
on my boys.
This is why, you know, give me 18 months, you'll make detective. Where are you transferring to? SIS? Exactly. I'm a career maker. You know, you give me 18 months, I make a career out of you. However, this last rewatch, I noticed something. Tell me if you noticed it too. I don't know if it's specifically hidden, but I'd never heard it before, and then I actually saw it, and I was like, oh, wow. They go outside, we get that cool shot with the helicopter coming in, they're in MacArthur Park area. We get Jeff getting wheeled away into an ambulance, and then we got, you know, the four guys. You got Denzel and the other three guys, you know, they're all shaking hands. Hey, good bust, good bust, good bust. And it's all kind of in slow motion. It's mainly more like Ethan Hawke is like, you know,
dazed.
I think it's more, it's not like I don't take it as a stylistic choice as much as it's supposed to be like we're more in Ethan Hawke's head and everything just seems like it's moving in slow motion. Denzel's on the phone and he gets in his car and it's before he has Hawke come over and he kind of like side eyes and looks up at Hawke. And what I heard was, "That's all cool, just make sure the bathtub is nice and clean." And that's when he smacks the roof of the car to have him get in there. I'd never heard that before. He was already going to be taking him.
Hmm.
Which makes me feel
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, that's that he was already intended on taking him to tie up loose ends, even if Hawke took the money, I think Alonzo was still going to have him killed and then maybe pocket that money that he was holding onto him anyway. But now it seems more like I just have to because he's going to tattle on me kind of thing.
Hmm. Yeah. I get that. I missed that line, though.
I'd never noticed it before. Yeah, it's right when he's in the car and he looks up and he says, like, "Lay off the..." He says something like, "Just lay off the ice and just make sure the bathtub's nice and clean." But it's very low because I don't think you're supposed to... Not like you're not supposed to hear it, but like he's obviously in a car. And he's
line, yeah.
Yeah. It's now nighttime. We're driving around. Denzel says, "We got to make one stop first. I like to help out in the neighborhood, you know, bring supplies, utilities, food, money. For the what?" He was like, I'm not just a bad guy. Okay, I like to help out the neighborhood." That's when we pull up to this house. We meet a guy named Smiley, and his two gang member friends. One's name was like Sniper. Like the sniper tattoo on. Like got the neck veins popping out of his neck.
Freaking Tuco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
"I'm dropping off supplies. Hey, I just got to hit the head real quick, and then we'll be on our way." So Ethan Hawke's hanging out in the kitchen. The three guys are playing poker. Hey, why don't you come, why don't you have a seat, play poker. Don't freak out. We're not playing for money. to which he's like, okay, I'll play one hand. Playing poker, he wins the round. The other guy's like, yeah, three bet, man, three bet. He's like, no, this is why we don't play for money, because this motherfucker is such an idiot. And then Ethan Hawke does probably the stupidest thing that he's done this entire day. He said, hey, let me see your gun.
So stupid.
It looks just like this one. Yeah, same one, stainless steel, yada, yada. He's like, well, here's the thing. I've seen his, but I haven't seen yours. So he takes his gun, takes the clip out, pops the one out of the chamber, hands the guy his gun.
Catches it. Ooh, that's a neat trick. Yeah. You learned that at the academy?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Hands him his gun. I don't remember how they got the clip from him, but it was just like, what are you doing, dude? They even mentioned at the beginning, when Denzel's on the phone with him, that's the only gun he has, is the one in his back pocket. I don't remember how they get the clip, but they get the clip from him. And that's when they let him know, hey, he's like, I need my gun back. I got to take off Alonzo's. He's like, Alonzo's already gone, fella. He looks out the window. Monte Carlo's gone. You got to be fucking kidding me. They load his gun.
Great.
This was like, hey, sit down, brother. Have a beer. Relax. You're going to be here for a minute. That's when we get the incredible line. Have you ever had your shit pushed? My shit. No, thank you. He's like, I do love the loving from the homies. That's what Smiley says. Hawk knows he's fucked. Throws the table up, trying to get away. They knock him in. They hit him over the head with a bottle, right? Yeah. And the girls in the living room are like, "You fucked him up."
Yeah.
Should also be said that Alonzo left Smiley with a stack of cash to take care of him for him. They take him into the bathroom. They're going to blow his head off in the shower in that very clean bathtub, to which they mention, let me get his money first before, we make a mess of the place. That's when they pull out that billfold. Hey, Smiley, isn't this your cousin? What the fuck you doing with my cousin? He's like, no. She was about to be raped in MacArthur Park. I stopped her from two crackheads. I swear to God. And he's like, well, let me just back up this drilling. Pulls out his phone, calls the girl. No, I was in school all day. No big deal. He's like, well, that's not what I heard. And he's like, all right, well, what'd you hear? And he goes, I heard you got jumped. And he goes like, okay, yeah, two crackheads jumped me. They were a little rough with me. They might have been trying to rape me. I don't really know. But then a white guy busted in. Pretty much saved me. Young guy. Could have been worse, but I'm okay. Alright, we're going to talk about this later. Hangs up, he goes, hey, sorry brother. Thanks for helping out my cousin. It's all business. But I'm gonna let you go. Do you solid. To which we get that final thing where he goes into the jungle looking for Denzel. We're about to have a firefight.
It's going to be big.
Luckily, he befriended that...
Boss fight.
Luckily, he befriended that child because the kid just lets him in the house. Mommy and Daddy, they're in the bedroom, yeah. He busts in, sees Denzel was getting the cash ready to go to drop off the Russians. He says, no way. Put the money in the bag, guns in the brief,
suitcase or whatever.
Pillowcase, whatever. Okay. Hey, you passed the test. Welcome to the crew. You one of my guys. I don't think so. I'm taking that money, and it's going to evidence, and you're going away for a long time. To which Denzel has the hidden shotgun, the classic shotgun on a swivel under the bed. End up chasing him out on the roof. They fight on the rooftop for a little bit. Denzel thinks he's won. He's got him knocked out unconscious, gets in his car, goes to drive away, which Ethan Hawke just Supermans under the front of his car. Tries to get away. Fights with the gun. They both get out of the car. Ethan Hawke gets the jump on him. He's got the gun on him. The whole neighborhood is now gathered in, and that's when, Denzel's like, first person to put a bullet in this guy's head, I'll make you a rich man. To which they're all like, nah, son, you gotta work up in here. You gotta work for what you need. So he puts the gun on the concrete, and he's like, oh, it's like that, is it? And like, it's like that. Oh, you motherfucker. That classic Denzel. Shoot me. Come on, Jake. Shoot me right here. One, two. you can't do it. I like how they're just like, Jake, get the money. Get out of here. We'll take care of this. Yeah. That's when you get that classic, okay. Okay.
King Kong ain't got shit on me.
Yep.
Another famous line. And the, you can shoot me, but you can't kill me. As he's like loading up a cigarette. They just let him go. You know, that's, they all just kind of, I think they know he's a dead man walking anyway. If he doesn't have the money, it doesn't matter. We cut to the next scene. We see the LAX sign. Obviously, Denzel's trying to make a run for the airport. He's at a stoplight. A van pulls up next to him. Lady smoking a cigarette. Light turns green. He goes to go. Two more vans swoop in, box him in, and then just light him up like Sonny from Godfather. He gets out of the car, not dead, but then they just finish him off. They turn him into a pincushion. And then we get that final scene of the movie where Ethan Hawke is driving home, bruised, bloodied.
Probably still high. Like
shit. And then we...
Yeah.
Still? You think so?
PCP?
That was like 8 in the morning. Now it's like...
I ain't no expert, but I think maybe that shit lingers. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. We'll have to find out.
For science.
For science.
There we go. We'll just say we're undercover, then it's legal. Yep. You know, we get that shot of him arriving home, getting out of his car while the radio is playing, you know, saying Alonzo Harris was found dead, trying to serve a high-risk warrant. You know, he survived by his wife and 4 sons, you know, so he's going to be made a hero out of all this. And then it just kind of ends and leaves you with that fun feeling.
But does Ethan Hawke show up to work the next day? Knowing that the wise men obviously are running things, right? They're the ones who are pulling the strings. Ethan Hawke knows that now. So does he go back to work?
So apparently there was a deleted scene that had the three wise men in a car waiting for him when he got home. But that apparently... In this deleted scene, Ethan Hawke had already taken the money to evidence. So he doesn't come home with the money. So they decided to take it out because that they were going to say Alonzo was killed by the Russians. And then he was going to say, well, that's fine. I already took the money to evidence. But because we already saw Alonzo get killed, they felt it was just redundant to be told again that he was killed. And then the radio was going to say, you know. So they ended up taking it out. So... I don't know if I would assume he's going to be, there's going to be obviously an investigation going on. And he also does have PCP in his system. And he's got 4 other cops that say something else happened. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, but they always say follow the money. And if he just turned in $1 million worth of cash, who knows? I don't know.
Because there's that part where he's like, he says like he wants to go back to writing traffic tickets for the rest of his life.
Well, I think he said he would rather
Go
back to...
I'd rather go back. And so, who knows?
I don't think he's going to be in the narcotics division anymore. But I also don't know if he's just going to be a beat cop anymore either.
Guess we just got to wait for a training day, too.
They did make a show.
Did they?
They did, yeah.
Yeah. It got canceled because Bill Paxton died.
Oh.
No.
Well, all the more... reason to make a training day too. Or not reason. I don't know.
they were going to make a prequel with a younger Alonzo to show him how he started and then how he started turning. I would assume it would be kind of like the same movie, just be based in the early 90s, and instead of him doing the right thing, he would do the wrong thing. That's what I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And instead of PCP, it'd be crack cocaine.
Oh, some rocks.
Some finest crack cocaine.
I like when they make Snoop puke. He's like, now what the fuck is that? And he goes, crack, motherfucker.
Yeah.
I can't believe he just shoved a pen down his throat, though. Like,
what the fuck, man?
Obviously, great movie.
Yep.
Denzel said this is his favorite character that he's ever played. Maybe not necessarily favorite movie, but every favorite character.
That's because it wasn't too off target for him, I think.
He said he almost turned the movie down, but one of his sons read the script and said, "You have to take this film." He took it, won the Oscar, and so he's on record saying that anytime his son says he should take a movie, he listens to his son now. I don't know if that's the son that's making movies now or not.
Yeah.
Is it John David Washington? Is that his name? Tenet?
I don't quote me on that. I don't know.
Okay. But like I said, this is what I think of when I think of Denzel. He agrees with me, his most iconic role. But is there anything we need to discuss before we find out what we're doing next time?
I mean, The Equalizer's getting up there too, you know. Like that's,
which I've never seen any of them.
Me neither.
Really? At least
I'm
the
more
first...
of a Man on Fire guy.
I love that movie.
Yeah, another great one. But I felt like, you know, those are all
that's
the same
the,
persona, you know.
I think I didn't watch, even though I hear the Equalizer movies are phenomenal.
Yeah, they're John Wick-esque quality-wise.
I skipped on it because it was that first one was right when it was like old guy becomes a badass fighter vigilante, like in the Liam Neeson vein. Mm. And I don't care for those Taken movies at all. And then obviously we just got John Wick, and I was just like, I think I might be old guy punches person in the face with the butt of their gun and then shoots him in the head. I might be.
I think in the first one he takes like a nail gun or something.
Yeah, it was like a hammer. Yeah,
Home Depot.
Yeah, I've heard about the Home Depot, but I think I do need to at least watch that first one.
They're a fun watch. I mean, there's not much to them, but
you know what's funny?
That third one came out. Oh, go ahead.
You know what's funny is I have a coworker that has like a kind of older-ish mom, like white haired old lady, and she loves the Equalizer movie. And I was talking to her one time, and she's like, "I love Denzel." Shit. Okay.
He's great.
So every time I think about it, I think of that old white-haired lady, just like, "Ooh, Denzel."
I got real excited when they were showing the trailer for Equalizer 3. I didn't know they were making a third one, but Dakota Fanning was in the trailer, and I was like, "Oh shit, is this Man on Fire 2?" It's because that he's obviously he's. And then they were like, Equalizer 3, and I'm like, oh. And then I got less excited, even though it still looked great. But I hadn't seen the other two. But I was like, Creasy's back! Creasy's back!
A.K.A. Man on Fire 2.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, they're the same character, pretty much.
But,
yeah. Good movie.
Maybe
I'll dip into that sometime this week.
There you go.
You want to find out what we're doing next week?
Yes, please.
Hell yeah.
Well, we are fast-forwarding 8 years, and we are traveling to the land of Pandora for Michael's pick. This was his first choice that he got. We are doing the 2009 James Cameron classic? Question mark that Brandon saw for the first time a year ago? Avatar.
Yeah.
Pandora.
I haven't seen the first one since the theater, December of 2009. I'm very interested to going back. I remember not liking it, but I also watched it in 3D, and it hurt my head, and was I'm very anti-3D, and I don't think...
Goddamn.
But then I loved the second one. Loved the second one. So I'm curious to go back.
Yeah. Second one was good.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
That's all we have. Well, let's go ahead and cut print check the gate.
See you guys.
See ya.